Okay, good morning, Rabbi Isai. And as always, welcome to our Sunday morning shiur. I was a little bit under the weather this past week, so I'll do the best I can with my voice. And hopefully it'll hold up. And I also will make an effort to end earlier today so that those who want to attend the yeshiva's Chanukah Sabbath will be able to. The Torah tells us in yesterday's Parshas Vayigash, that we had the reunion of Yaakov Avinu with Yosef, the dramatic moment, several dramatic moments in the parasha, but one of them was when Yaakov and Yosef were reunited. And the Torah tells us that when they met, so Yosef, yes, by yes, so Yosef Merkavta, Vayalu Kras Yisrael Aviv, that Yosef went towards his father Yisrael, towards his father Yaakov, Goshna, Vayereilav, Vayipal al Tzavarav, and he saw him, and he appeared to him, and he fell on his shoulder, Vayev kal Tzavarav od, and he cried on his shoulder. It's unclear from the pasuk itself who cried on whose shoulder, but Rashi says that what happened here was that Yosef cried on Yaakov's shoulder, but Yaakov did not cry on Yosef's shoulder. Yaakov was not crying at that moment. Rashi tells us in a fairly well-known comment, Yaakov lo nafal al tzavara Yosef lo nashko. He didn't fall on his shoulder, nor did he kiss him. V'amar Rabbi Seinu, and the Chazal say the reason for this was shehayakore yeshma. The reason for this was because of the fact that Yaakov Avinu was saying Shema at that time. And thus, Yosef was crying, but Yaakov was saying Shema. Why Yosef wasn't saying Shema, so there's a great deal of discussion about this. In other words, was this the time to say Shema? Was it not the time to say Shema? So the standard pshat, which is the pshat in Rashi, which is said by the Maharal of Prague in his commentary, Gur Aryeh, is that he says that the way of tzaddikim, way of righteous people, is that when a great moment, when a great event happens in their life, so they try to channel it towards their relationship with God. So therefore, when Yaakov Avinu saw Yosef, this was the greatest moment that he had in so long, after so many years of sadness and so many years of distress. So he chose that moment. He seized the opportunity to bolster his appreciation, his relationship with Hashem, and therefore he said Shema at that moment. That is the widely said over interpretation. There are other interpretations, but nonetheless. So I figured that I was thinking back over the years of this year. I don't think we ever spoke about Kriya Shema, and we spoke about many mitzvahs in the Torah Baruch Hashem over the years, but we never spoke about Kriya Shema. So I thought this would be a time to speak about it, and particularly to discuss the Zmanim of Kriya Shema, which, even though now here in we're pretty much out of the woods as far as the Sof Zman Kriya Shema. Right, but I would like to discuss a few points about when Shema can be said, when it can't be said, and a few of the halachas that pertain to it. Okay, now we know that there is a mitzvah every day for a person to say Kriya Shema twice, and once in the morning, once in the evening. This is derived from the pasuk in Shema itself that says that Kriya Shema should be said b'shachbecha, excuse me, b'shachbecha uvkumecha. That when you go to sleep and when you get up. And the rabbis interpreted, the Gemara in Brachos tells us, the rabbis made a very interesting interpretation. It seems almost to be an inconsistent interpretation of this pasuk. And they said that b'shach b'cha means that Kriya Shema at night can be said so long as people are sleeping. So long as people are sleeping. Which means that you could say, this is the first Mishnah in the entire Shas, the first Mishnah in Brachos, speaks about when Kriya Shema at night can be said, and the halacha that we follow is that Kriya Shema can be said in the Ikarat Din the entire night, from the Tzeis Kochavim all the way through until the Alos HaShachar the next morning. Okay, why? Because we interpret the pasuk b'shach b'cha kol zman shebnei adam shochvim, that so long as people are sleeping, you can say Kriya Shema. Now, when it comes to Kriya Shema in the morning, we have a different interpretation. The very next word in the Torah says, it says b'shach b'cha, and then it says uvakumecha. Now, to follow consistently, if b'shach b'cha means so long as people are sleeping, so then the kumecha should mean so long as people are awake. which would mean that you'd be able to say Kriya Shema the entire day. You'd be able to say Kriya Shema 5 o'clock in the afternoon. In other words, if we held consistent to that interpretation. But yet, the Chazal felt otherwise. They felt that Kumecha means Kol Zman Shebnei Adam Kumin, that so long as people are getting up, so at the time that people are waking up in the morning, that's when you can say Kriya Shema. So it's an inconsistency in a certain sense, because if we would go that way with B'shach B'cha, so then you'd only be able to say Kriya Shema at the time that people are going to sleep. Not at the time that people are sleeping, but at the time that people are going to sleep. Which in fact, if you look in the first Mishnah in Brachas, is an opinion that's brought there. That's why it's not the opinion that we hold La'alacha, but there is such an opinion like that. That you can only say Kriya Shema when people are going to sleep. Nevertheless, we have this sort of dichotomy, right? Why that is discussed at length by a number of achronim. Why it is, it's not really for the purpose of this year, but nonetheless, the maskana, the bottom line is that Kriya Shema at night can be said so long as people are sleeping. And therefore, you can say Shema the entire night, and we hold that a person can also daven Ma'ariv, the Shemoneh Esrei, the entire night pretty much follows the same, not exactly, but more or less follows the same rule. And therefore, at night, one could say Shema the entire night and say daven Ma'ariv the entire night. Nevertheless, the Chachamim ruled that a person should do everything in his power to say Kriya Shema by Chatzos, that a person should try. If a person has not said Ma'ariv, the person should try to do whatever possible to say Kriya Shema before midnight. Okay, if you didn't, you could still say it the rest of the night. But l'chatchila, a person, the Mishnah tells us, kedei l'harchik es adam in aveira, because of the concern that if you pushed it past that point, a person may forget to say it altogether. So therefore, l'chatchila at night, a person should say Shema by midnight. But I'd like to focus in on the daytime. So when, because we have this notorious Sof Zman Kriya Shema that you hear announced in the shuls, you have to say Shema by this and this time. Okay, so I'd like to focus in on that a little bit this morning. So we have here on the sheet the Gemara, the Mishnah Brachas on Daf Tes Amid Beis. This is the fellow who usually makes the sheets is away, so I had to do it myself, which results in what you see in front of the masterpiece that you see in front of you. So anyway, the Mishnah here tells us. Okay, Me'emasai Karin Hashma B'Shachris. The Mishnah says, when is the time to say Kriya Shema in the morning? So, Mishayakar bin Chelas Lulavan. There are two opinions in the Mishnah. The first opinion is when the time that a person can tell the difference between blue wool and white wool. Rabbi Eliezer Omer bin Chelas Lakarsi. Rabbi Eliezer says between the Chelas, the blue wool, Lakarsi is what we call today a leek, L-E-E-K. A leek, which is this greenish color, and that is more of a subtle difference. It's not as stark as the difference between blue and white, and therefore it would require a little more visibility. It would be a little bit later. So says the Mishnah. Now, if you skip down to the Gemara, if we go to the wide lines, the Gemara says on the end of the fourth wide line, Tanya, in the Brisa it says, Rav Meir Omer Mishayakir Ben Zev LeKelev, that the time for Shema is when a person can tell the difference between a wolf and a dog. Rabbi Akiva Omer ben Chamor La'arod, between a donkey and another similar type animal. Okay, and here's the part that we're interested in. V'acherim Omrim, and others say, Mishayires Chaveiro Rochok Dalet Amos V'yakirenu. That the time would be what is called, what we call today, Mishayakir. Mishayakir means literally from the time that you could recognize. Recognize what? The time that you could recognize a friend, a person who you know, okay, a someone who you know from a distance of 4 amos. Not someone who you know very well, because a person who you're very close to and very well acquainted with, you could recognize eat with only a minimal amount of light. But it means, the Mefarshim say, Chaveiro Harogil Imo Ksas, someone who he's somewhat familiar with, an acquaintance. When you can tell an acquaintance, when you can recognize an acquaintance at a distance of 4 amos, that is the time to say Kriya Shema in the morning. Okay? Which is what, and the Gemara on the next page says, not on the sheet, the Gemara on the next page says that the halacha is like this opinion. This is what we hold. This is what's called Mishayakir. Okay, now, why is this the time? Why is this the time? So we said a few moments ago that really what drives this halacha is the pasuk that says bikumecha, when people wake up in the morning. When do people wake up? So in the old world, right, we can't necessarily, we don't easily relate with this today, but in the old world, in the world pre-electricity, so daylight was the most precious commodity that existed because a person could work so long as there was daylight. And therefore, people were, it was common that people got up at the crack of dawn because you had to get to work and that was your chance, right? Without electricity, there was no lights. So even though you could light candles, but it wasn't the most convenient thing to do. So therefore, people would get up early in the morning, okay? And we'll soon see that the Gemara tells us that this time frame extends only until the end of the third hour of the day. If we go back to the Mishnah here on this page, if you go back to the Mishnah a few lines above, so the Mishnah says, until when can you say it? So the third line from the top at the very end of the line, the Mishnah says, Ad HaNetzachama. The first opinion is that you could say Kriya Shema only until sunrise. That you would have to complete Kriya Shema by sunrise, meaning that if you got up after sunrise, you could not fulfill the mitzvah. That's the first opinion. However, the opinion that we hold is Rabbi Yeshua says, Ad Shalosh Shos. Rabbi Yeshua says this means until the end of the third hour of the day. Shekein derech melachim lamod b'shalosh shos. Because the princes would get up 3 hours in the day. In other words, what we call today the Sof Zman Kriyashma, the end of the time in which you could say Kriyashma, is in reality the end of the third hour of the day. Okay, now yesterday, the Sof Zman Kriyashma, today actually, the hasn't yet come, but the most lenient opinion, which we'll soon get to, is that that would be 9:44 in the morning. 9:44 in the morning, okay? Right after they changed the clock about 6 weeks ago, so it was a lot earlier than that, right? It would be even like 9:20 here in Miami and other cities. It's even much earlier than that. So you say to yourself, what do you mean? But I know people who get up later than that. I myself sometimes on a day off might get up later than that. So what are you telling? What is the Mishnah saying that only the princes get up at this time? So again, I believe the explanation to this is because pre-electricity, so nobody could afford to sleep so late. Because if a person got up at 9 o'clock in the morning, that means he lost already 2-3 hours of daylight. So that means that his productivity for the day, his output, is going to be limited. So nobody could afford that except for the princes who didn't work anyway. And even they, being that they couldn't deviate too much from the rest of the world, so they would sleep until the end of the third hour. Now today, obviously, it's all different because of, like I said, invention or whatever you want to call it, the discovery of electricity made it that now people can sleep later because you could work till all hours of the night. You could work all night. You don't have to. The day and the night are not that much different. Maybe to a farmer it's different, but the economy changed. It used to be much more of a agricultural economy, and today it's not. Nevertheless, this is the din that's in the Torah and in the Gemara. It's Paskin Shulchan Aruch, and this remains the halacha by us. This remains the halacha. So therefore we have the end time of Kriya Shema. So again, to summarize, the beginning time of Kriya Shema is what's called Mishayakir, right? And the end time is the end of the third hour of the day. Now, why should it be that Mishayakir? Why should that be that it goes by when you could recognize a person, right? In other words, what we're saying, this man is when you could stand outside, and there's this before sunrise. It's before some Mishayakir, the time that those who get up early and have to watch the Zmanim for when to daven, know that the time of Mishayakir is before the time of sunrise. Right? So in other words, it's still not so light outside. So why is that the time that drives Kriya Shema? So the truth of the matter is that the poskim tell us that in reality, most people would get up at dawn. Dawn is before Mishayakir, right? However, excuse me, not most people. Some people would get up at dawn, but most people would get up at Mishayakir. And the reason for this is because of the fact that the big issue, and especially when it comes to Kriya Shema, Right, so the Torah says that you say Kriya Shema Belechtecha Baderech. Belechtecha Baderech means when you're going on the way. Right, in other words, when a person is ready to travel. The two biggest concerns with travel in the old world were the fear of the attack of an animal and the fear of the attack of a bandit. Those were the two greatest fears. That was what dissuaded people from traveling at night. And even if you had a way of knowing where you were going in the dark, you'll say, well, you know, you could get lost. That's also true. But even if a person had a way of knowing, the fear of animals or unruly people was what stopped people from traveling. So therefore, the Pnei Yeshua, in his commentary on the Gemara, explains that's why when the rabbis try to determine when the time for Kriya Shema is, so one opinion says when you can tell the difference between two animals, you can tell the difference between a wolf and a dog, and the other one says it's when you can tell when you could recognize a person who you don't know so well at a distance of four amos. Why are those the times? Because those would be the times of Belechtecha Baderech. Those would be the times that a person would feel comfortable traveling. So therefore, as a result of this, that became the Zman Kriya Shema. Okay, now, so we say that you could start saying it from the time of the sunrise, from the time of Mishayakir, and it goes until the end of the third hour of the day. Now, it could be this is well known, but I just figured that since we never have spoken about this before, I just clarify, why is it that there are two different times that are considered the end time for Kriya Shema? Why should that be? Okay, so you know, if you ask someone, when is the Sof Zman Kriya Shema? So if you would have asked someone today, they'll tell you, some people will tell you 9:08, 3 minutes from now. 9:08 would be the end time of Kriya Shema. That is one opinion. The other opinion, which is more lenient and which is the one that shuls all follow, would tell you 9:44, 36 minutes later. Okay, now why is this? So the reason is because there is a machlokus between, a well-known machlokus between the two of the great authorities, the commentaries in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Magen Avraham said that we know, in general, everybody agrees, before we get to the Magen Avraham, everybody agrees that whenever we find in the Mishnah and the Gemara that we talk about hours of the day, the end of the third hour of the day is the time for Kriya Shema, the end of the fourth hour of the day is the time for Tefillah, right? The end of the fourth hour of the day is the latest time that you could eat chametz on Erev Pesach. Right, so what? How do we calculate? Whenever you ask somebody, what time was that? You always have to look on a calendar. You always have to ask somebody, and you always hear these random times. Right, it's a 9:32, 10:26. Right, where do you get these numbers from? So the way it is because the halachic hour, the way hours are calculated in halacha is what's called shos manios. Shos manios is very well translated by Art Scroll as seasonal hours. Seasonal hours, meaning that the length of an hour in halacha is not 60 minutes when it comes to this. The length of an hour depends on the season, meaning that we take all of the daylight time and we divide it by 12 and we have 12 equal hours. Okay, in other words, in the summertime, right, so it could be daylight, not here in Miami, but you go up, let's say, to New York, you could have, in the peak of the summer, in the end of June, you could have daylight for almost 18 hours out of the 24 hours of the day. Okay, and a time like that, you would take those 18 hours and divide it by 12, and the daylight hours, meaning are 18, divided by 12, so that would give you that a halakhic hour would be over 60 minutes, obviously. It would be over 60 minutes. Okay, on the other hand, in the wintertime, like now, so now we're already past the shortest days of the year, but not that much past it. Okay, so in an extreme location, you could have a place where it's only daylight for 9 hours of the day, which would mean that you would take those 9 hours and divide it by 12, and whatever you would get would be the length of a halachic hour. Okay, now, it sounds a little complicated, but when you think about it, it's not really hard to grasp this. So the Magen Avraham is of the opinion that the way you calculate this is you begin the calculation from dawn, not from sunrise. You begin from dawn, and you end it at when the stars come out. It goes from the Alos HaShachar until the Tzeiskachot. All the time in between those two points is considered the day in Halacha. You divide that by 12, whatever you get, that is how long each hour is. And so you start counting the day from dawn, and at the end of three such hours, that would be the Sof Zman Kriya Shema. That is the Magen Aram's opinion. Okay, however, the Vilna Gaon in the Bir Agra and elsewhere, not here, but he ruled that the calculation is different. That the calculation is from sunrise to sunset. That's probably what we would have said. Right? From sunrise to sunset. That's how you count the time. The day in Halacha goes from when the sun comes up to when the sun comes down. Very simple. You take that amount of time, divide it by 12. Each one is a halachic hour. And whenever the sun rises, you start counting. That's the beginning of your day. And after 3 hours, however long those hours may be, right, that's the Sof Zman Kriya Shema. Okay, so that explains why you're going to have two different times. Now I'll tell you a little trick that works almost always, and that is that if you think about it, you may want to sit down with a pen and paper and figure this out, why this is true, but the difference between the Magen Avraham and the Gra's opinion comes out to be 144 minutes each day. Why is that? Because the Magen Avraham starts counting from dawn, right? The Vilna Gaon starts from sunrise. Now, when is dawn? When is the Elos HaShachar? So the Poskim say that we calculate the dawn to be 72 minutes before sunrise. Okay, so let's just take an example. If, theoretically, I don't know what time it was today, but let's just say that the sunrise today was 7 o'clock, so the dawn would be 5:48, 72 minutes early. Okay, so the Magen Avraham starts 72 minutes earlier. Now, when does the day end? So according to the Vilna Gaon, it ends from the sunset, and according to the Magen Avraham, it ends at when the stars come out. Now, the strictest opinion of when the stars come out, which is what's used in all the charts that they calculate, is 72 minutes after the sunset. So therefore, the Magen Avraham, in his calculation, has 72 minutes extra at the front end and 72 minutes extra at the back end, for a grand total of 144 minutes. Okay, so now all the math majors here will realize that if you divide the 144 by 12, you end up with an additional 12 minutes per hour, which means that every halachic hour is going to be 12 minutes longer, according to the Magen Avraham, than according to the Gra. Now, here's where it gets a little tricky. Now, the only thing is that the Magen Avraham starts counting before the Vilna Gaon starts counting. So let's use the example that we gave just a moment ago. Let's say today the sunrise is 7 o'clock. Okay, so according to the Vilna Gaon, that's when you start counting the day. But according to the Magen Avraham, you start counting 72 minutes earlier at 5:48. So now let's go through the hours. Now let's just say for a moment that today was a perfect day, which it's not. We're in December. But let's say it was September or March, where you had the solstice. We have the perfect days where the day is exactly 12 hours long. Okay, so now we'll make it that being the case, according to Vilna Gaon, who goes sunrise to sunset, every hour would be 60 minutes. Okay, so now, we start the day according to the Magen Avraham at 5:48, but the Vilna Gaon says, not the day according to me. Fine, so we start counting. So let's go. The first hour begins at 5:48 and ends at 7 o'clock, because his days, since you have a perfect day, exactly 12 hours of daylight, but he has an additional 144 minutes, so therefore it ends up that his hours are 72 minutes and the Vilna Gaon's hours are 60 minutes. Okay, so the Magen Avraham's first hour ended at 7 o'clock, which is exactly when the day is first beginning, according to the Gra. So according to the Vilna Gaon, the first hour of the day will end at 8 o'clock. According to the Magen Avraham, it ended at 7, and according to the Gra, it ended at 8. So at the end of 1 hour, there's a 60-minute difference. Now let's go another hour, okay? According to we start counting the second hour of the day, according to the Magen Avraham, from 7 o'clock, 72 minutes later, puts us at 8:12, okay? So that's the end of the second hour, according to the Magen Avraham. According to the Gra, Vilna Gaon, when does the second hour end? It starts at 8 and ends at 9. So thus, the differential at the end of 2 hours of the day is 12 minutes less. It's 48 minutes, because according to the Magen Avraham, it ended at 8:12, and according to the Vilna Gaon, it ended at 9 o'clock. Now we go for the third hour, which is the one that we care about, because this is going to be the Sof Zman Kriyashma. Okay, so we start counting at 8:12, according to the Magen Avraham, and we go 72 minutes from 8:12, puts us at 9:24. According to the Vilna Gaon, the third hour of the day begins at 8 o'clock. And it's 60 minutes, so it ends at 9 o'clock. It begins at 9 o'clock, there's 60 minutes, it ends at 10 o'clock. So therefore, it comes out that according to the Magen Avraham, the Sof Zman Kriyashma would be at 9:24, and the Vilna Gaon, the Sof Zman Kriyashma would be at 10 o'clock, which is a 36-minute difference. It's always going to be that way. Because of the fact that you have this 12-minute differential, you'll sit down, it's very early in the morning to calculate this, I apologize, but you'll sit down with pen and paper and figure this out, you'll see it always works, right? Meaning that if anyone ever wanted to know when the end time for Kriya Shema was, all you need to know, let's say you want to know both opinions, or, you know, for whatever reason, you only need to know one and you could figure the other one out by yourself. In other words, if someone tells you that, let's say you're in a place where they're very strict in the halacha, and in some places, I've seen this in New York, there are some places where the sign that says the Zman Sof Zman Kriya Shema tells you the Magen Avraham's time, which is earlier, so everyone's horrified to see that. You say, what in the world? Right? You go close to Pesach, you know, before they change the clock back, the Sof Zman Kriya Shema, 8:15. You say, oh my gosh, 8:15, how could that be? Right? So the answer is, that's the Magen Avraham's time, but most people don't go by that. Most people are lenient, go by the later time. But it doesn't say on the chart when the later time is. No problem. Just add 36 to whatever it says there. Okay, if it says 8:15, then 8:51 is the Sof Zman Kriya Shema. It's always going to be that way. Because of the fact that, as I said, it starts from the fact that there's 144-minute difference divided by 12. 12-minute difference, you figure it out. At the end of 3 hours, the difference narrows to 36 minutes. So, yes?
How come the 72 minutes doesn't get the Shalos Manios injected into it?
So that's a good question. That's because the Gemara, well, for one thing, the Gemara says explicitly that the 72-minute time. Now, whether that, so the Gemara says that it's, the Gemara gives the time in minutes. It says, the Gemara Pesachim says that it's Kedei Dalad Milin, the amount of time it takes to travel a certain distance, which is held to be 72 minutes. There is discussion whether that's true all over the world or that was just true in the Middle East where the Gemara was written, so that's a discussion in its own right. But anyway, so there you have it, okay? So, I don't make anyone crazier, and it's not fair to do this at this hour, but nevertheless, this is where we have the differential in the Sof Zman Kriya Shema. Okay, so now, as I said at the outset, today, the Sof Zman Kriya Shema 9:44, so there's no real problem with making it, even on Shabbos, a person goes to most shuls start at 9 o'clock, but by 9:44, everybody will have said Kriya Shema. However, that was not necessarily the case a few weeks ago. If you go back in time, about a month or so, right, the Sof Zman Kriya Shema, even the lenient opinion, would have been, let's say, 9:25. So 9:25 on Shabbos, not so simple that you're going to make it. Okay, so the question would be, so what do you do if you don't think you're going to make it? What are we going to do if we're going to daven at a minyan and they're not going to make the Sof Zman Kriya Shema? So what's, I think, pretty well known is that, well, you say the Shema before you start to daven. Okay, you know, after all, it's a mitzvah to recite Kriya Shema. After the Zman, I just want to make this clear, this thing with the Sof Zman Kriya Shema is not like some great act of piety. Right, this is a din in the Gemara that this is the end of, you can't do the mitzvah past this point. You cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema in the morning once you get past this. Right? In other words, whereas at night, as I said at the outset, this disparity, the disparity that we have, that in at night you could say Shema the entire night. But in the daytime, you could only say Shema until the end of the third hour of the day. That's very, very limiting in our culture. The way we live, a lot of times a person's day off. You have the holiday season now. People are off from work, right? So this coming Wednesday happens to be, you know, we ruined it by making it a fast day. But, you know, let's say you're off from work. You say, good, I'll get a good sleep. You know, New Year's, start off the year well rested, okay? But you have to keep in mind that if you wake up 10, 11 in the morning, so you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah Kriya Shema. You're not going to fulfill the mitzvah Kriya Shema. So what happens if you're in a shul that's not going to do it? So, okay, so you say it in advance. Now, the problem with this is the following. The problem with this is that Kriya Shema is not just the Kriya Shema. So now, let me just take a moment to discuss. What is Kriya Shema? So Kriya Shema, there's a question in the poskim, what constitutes the official Kriya Shema? There are different opinions as far as that goes. But essentially, the way we have it is that Kriya Shema contains three sections, right? They're from three different parashiyos in the Torah. Okay, the first part, which is Shema and V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, okay, so that which is taken from Parshas V'eschanan, that has what we call Kabbalas O Malch Shemayim. In other words, the significance of Kriya Shema is because, as the title of the shir was sent out, it's a declaration of faith. Okay, so when a person says Shema, he's accepting upon himself the yoke of heaven, right? The O Malch Shemayim, accepting God as the king. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, which means Hashem who is our God, Hashem Echad, Hashem is the one God. Finished. Okay, so, and then it continues, V'haftas Hashem Elokecha, that's the first section of Kriya Shema. The second section of Kriya Shema, which is found in Parshas Ekev, V'hayoyim Shemoa, so that section contains what we call Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. That, when a person says that, he accepts upon himself the responsibility of performing the mitzvahs, meaning not just an acknowledgement, a declaration of faith in God, but rather, but aside from that, the acceptance of the mitzvahs. V'hayoyim Shemoa Tishmuel Mitzvosai, if you read it, you'll see that the psukim speak about you doing, fulfilling the mitzvahs and what will happen if you do and what will happen if you don't and so forth. Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. The third section, which is found in the end of Parsha Shlach, is Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, the Parsha of Tzitzis. Okay, the final section. Now, why is that part of it? So the reason why that's part of it is for two reasons. The reason why that's part of it, what does that have to do, you know, the first two parts are the basic declarations of faith and acceptance, right? In other words, we faith in Hashem, that's number one, and then you have the acceptance of the mitzvahs. Perfect. What's the third part? What does tzitzis have to do with it? So the truth is, tzitzis itself does not have much to do with it. However, there are two psukim in there that are key. One of them is that Urisim also Zachartem is called mitzvahs Hashem Vasisem also. In other words, again, in that section, it underscores the importance of doing all the mitzvahs, that a Jew is obligated to do all the mitzvahs, because it says it's kol mitzvahs Hashem. So you'll see the tzitzis, and you'll be reminded of kol mitzvahs Hashem. So this sort of follows along the theme of the second section of Kriya Shema. And then you have, at the very end, the final pasuk is the pasuk which is called Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim means where we mention every day the exodus from Egypt, the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now you may recall from the Haggadah of Pesach, right, that aside from the special mitzvah on the night of Pesach, which is called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which a person has to speak at length about what happened when the Jews went out of Egypt, but on a daily basis, a person has to at least make mention of it. Okay, you have the famous thing that, you know, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said that here I am almost 70 years old, as if I'm 70 years old and you know, no one listens to me. I tell people that they have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim at night also. But in the end of the day, we hold that you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim day and night. That's a separate mitzvah. That's a separate mitzvah that gets tacked on to Kriya Shema. I suppose because of the fact that Kriya Shema is a declaration of faith, and the exodus from Mitzrayim is the cornerstone of that faith, so therefore it got attached. So when we say the third part of Kriya Shema, so we are fulfilling an additional mitzvah. In other words, aside from the mitzvah of reciting Shema, which is a mitzvah in itself, there is also an additional mitzvah, which is the mitzvah of mentioning the exodus from Egypt, the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so therefore, we hold the halacha today that Kriya Shema consists of all three sections. All three sections, and that a person, in order to fulfill the mitzvah Kriya Shema, should really say all three of these. In order to do it, and whatever the deadline is, you have to say all three of these by the deadline. In reality, if you look in the poskim, you will see that's not universally agreed upon. Right? The people that held that the less would be sufficient, but we are machmer, and we say all three of them. Okay, now, that being the case, right? So a person has to try to say the Shema in its entirety by this time. Now, that is what Kriya Shema consists of. In addition to this, the Mishnah here tells us, we have it here on the sheet, the bottom of the first side. The Mishnah tells us that the rabbis ordained Sheva Brachas. Right? Sheva Brachas. He'll say, who got married? What's the Mazel Tov? Right? Where's the Sheva Brachas? The answer is that we have every day Sheva Brachas, without wine, hopefully. Right? We have Sheva Brachas without wine. What are those Sheva Brachas? That the mitzvah of Kriya Shema gets every day seven brachas. Where do you have that? Every morning you have three brachas, two before Kriya Shema and one after. Right? We start off right after Baruch Hu. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Yotzer Or Uvarei Choshech, which culminates in the bracha Yotzer Hamaoros. And then you have the second bracha, Ava Rabba, Avtanu Hashem Elokeinu, and so forth, which ends Baruch Atah Hashem Bochem Am Yisrael Ba'ava. Those are the two brachas that we say before Shema. And after Shema, we say a third bracha. That's in the morning. In the evening, we say four brachas. Actually, we today, most places say five, because they added a fifth one, but that's not mentioned in the Gemara. But the Mishnah tells us here in the bottom, on Daf Yudam and Beis and Brachas, that I won't read it just because it's getting a little late. The Mishnah tells us that in the daytime, in the morning, there are three brachas for Kriya Shema, and at night there are four brachas for a grand total of seven. Grand total of seven. Rashi on the Mishnah tells us that this is based on the Pasuk Sheva Bayom Hilalticha, that David HaMelech said that I will praise you Hashem seven times a day. Okay, which means that we have daily Sheva Brachas. Every day the Sheva Brachas by Jews. Right? The Sheva Brachas are the seven Brachas of Kriya Shema. Now, these Brachas were meant to be said together with Kriya Shema. Okay? Now, how exactly they constitute is a question. In other words, are they considered a Birchas HaMitzvah or not? Meaning, that what would be if you missed the Zman Kriya Shema? You missed it. Right? The person woke up late. Okay. I missed the Zman Kriya Shema. So now, is there any point in saying the brachas? Now I'm going to still daven because the end time for davening is later than the end time for Kriya Shema. The end time for Kriya Shema is the end of the third hour of the day. The end time of davening is really the end of the fourth hour of the day. I have another hour to the Sof Zman Tefillah. So is there any point in saying the brachas Kriya Shema? After all, I can't fulfill the mitzvah Kriya Shema anymore. So the answer is that really a person can say the brachas of Kriya Shema, that even though they were arranged around the recitation of Shema, but nevertheless, they are not technically birchas hamitzvah. They are not birchas hamitzvah. In other words, we don't say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu likros es Shema. We don't say that. Right, when you lit the Chanukah menorah a week ago, so you said Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. We say Kriya Shema. We don't say such a bracha. So therefore, the brachas of Kriya Shema technically are not considered Birchas HaMitzvah. However, to some degree, they are. If, for example, you daven here in Yeshiva in the Sunday morning before the shir, so you may have noticed that right before Shema, the way the Yeshiva does it is that the Chazan who's leading the davening does not say out loud, Baruch Atah Hashem HaBocher Ba'amo, the last bracha before Shema, right? Baruch Atah Hashem HaBocher Ba'amo Yisrael Be'ava. In many shuls, the Chazan says that, and everybody says Amen, and then they say Shema. But the custom here in the yeshiva, and in a lot of places, yeshivas in particular, is that everybody says it together. Everybody says the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem HaBocher Ba'amo Yisrael Be'ava. Why? So the reason for this is because if you heard the Chazan say it, and you answer Amen to that, so it would be considered a hefsik, it would be considered a separation between the bracha and Kriya Shema. So to some meaning that just like any mitzvah that you do, right? If you light a Hanukkah menorah, right? You say, and you're about to light it, and then and you say, oh, by you know, you mentioned to someone in your family, you know, the phone's ringing, okay? Before you lit the menorah, so that's a hefsik in the bracha. You have to make the bracha again. So being that we try not to be mafsik, so therefore the custom in a lot of yeshivas and certain shuls also is that everybody tries to finish the bracha together to avoid the need to say amen to that bracha. That's why it's done. Okay? If a person did not do that, so we hold that you could answer amen, when it came down to it, you could answer amen, because technically it's really not a birchas mitzvah. However, we try to whatever degree to make it that it should be a birchas mitzvah. Okay, so therefore, technically then you would say that if the shul is davening after the Sof Zman Kriya Shema, there would be no need, no reason to do this shtick that everyone says it together, because there's no problem with hefsek anyway, because you can't fulfill the mitzvah. Right, but nevertheless, okay, that would be as it may. So we have the idea of the Birchas Kriya Shema. Now, I just want to make this clear. The brachas that the rabbi said that should be said in connection with Kriya Shema, as much as they are dependent on Kriya Shema, they wouldn't be there if there wouldn't be Kriya Shema. But nevertheless, even at a point that a person can no longer fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, he could still say those brachas. Okay, so therefore, this is a common thing. If a shul is running late and they miss the time for Kriya Shema, okay, let's say, you know, a month ago or whatever, or at different places with a Sof Zman Kriya Shema very early, okay, and everybody knows you're not going to make it. The shul will not make it. For whatever reason, the shul starts 9 o'clock Shabbos morning, you're not going to make it. Okay, nevertheless, you could still say the brachas of Kriya Shema. You could still say the brachas of Kriya Shema because of the fact that technically they are not considered birchas ha-mitzvah. They are not considered directly linked to the mitzvah. So even though you can't fulfill the mitzvah anymore, you could still say the bracha. Okay, now, however, what is not so well known to people is that this doesn't go on forever. This only goes until the end of the time that you can say Shemon Esrei, which means that we know that a person is not supposed to say the Shemon Esrei of Shacharis past the end of the fourth hour of the day. In other words, what I mean to say is that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah, we have the Sof Zman Tefillah. You have to finish by the end of the fourth hour of the day. Okay, now sometimes you could have a situation where a shul might not even make that, right? If they're not careful, if they have a simcha and they got a big chazan coming in, you know, I remember one time, I don't want to say where this happened, but I was attending, I think it was Shabbos Chanukah, I don't know where it was, but what it was some special occasion in a certain shul, and they brought in a chazan to daven for the occasion, and he got up to Shabbos, it was Shabbos morning, got up to Shochenad, and I looked at the clock, and I said, it's 35 minutes before the Sof Zman Kriya Shema. Right? 35 minutes before the Sof Zman Kriya Shema, and he's up to Shochenad. I said, there's no way we're going to miss it. Right? It's going to take real talent to miss the Zman Kriya Shema at this point. This guy had the talent. Absolutely. He had big-time talent. It wasn't even close. Okay? He took him so long to get to Kriya Shema. What is there already? You know, Shabbos morning. But Kelodim, but even before that, he started, it was a little bit of Hasidic slant. So they start from Hakol Yoducha, saying it out loud, verse by verse. And it was amazing to me that he blew it completely. And people weren't aware, you know, nobody was watching the clock except, you know, I guess because I have my yeshiva background, so I kept glancing up at the clock. I said, I cannot believe this guy is going to do this. But what was more amazing was that, you know, when they had it, then they, you know, said Shemon Esrei and the Chazaras HaShatz, and then, you know, they're walking around with the Torah, they took out the Torah, and they're walking around, and, you know, that's the Chazan for Shacharis, you know, last Torah, as he's walking around with the Sefer Torah, and everyone's giving him, Yeshikayach, Yeshikayach, I was thinking, Yeshikayach, you slapped this guy across the face. The whole shul didn't make this Zman Kriya Shema because of him. And everyone's giving him Yashikayach, but that's the way it is. Okay, listen, everyone likes a good davening, you know. What's that?
Maybe they announced at the beginning.
They announced at the beginning. Yeah. Right. Then, despite what you may think, that we're not going to make it. Right. Okay, if you want to do that. But here's the catch. So now the question is, so would that have been good enough? Would that have been good enough? So the answer is that not necessarily, because since the rabbis instituted that you should say the brachas together with Kriya Shema. So what that means is that you're supposed to say the brachas of Kriya Shema l'chatchila at a time that you could fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Which means that it's not good enough to just do that and say, hey, we have this big chaz, we paid him a lot of money, and therefore, you know, it's every man for himself, say Shema before you start, and hope for the best, you know, put on a crash helmet and hope for the best, fasten your seatbelts, right, because we're in for it, okay? That technically it's not really good enough to do that, because well, they made the brachas that the brachas should be said at the right time. In fact, the opinion of the Vilna Gaon is, this is a shocker, the Vilna Gaon writes that in his opinion, if a person had the two choices, one choice would be to daven privately, and the other choice would be to go to a shul which is not going to make the Zman Kriya Shema. He said it's better to daven privately. Why? You'll say, why should you do that? Why don't you get the best of both worlds? Why don't you say Shema first, and then go daven with the minion? So you'll have the advantage of the minion. So he said, because you also need to say the brachas of Kriya Shema in the time. In other words, it's not just enough to say the Shema itself, but really you should also say l'chatchila. He held it was more than l'chatchila. He held that a person had to say the brachas in the time. Now, we don't hold that. We're not so strict when it comes to that. But certainly it's better if a person would do that. Okay? So therefore, given the choice, if a person had the opportunity to daven at a minyan that will make it with the brachas in time, or a later minyan, it's better to say it even with the, even if you'll say, well, I'll go to the later minyan, no big deal, I'll say Kriya Shema in advance. That doesn't completely solve the problem. That alleviates a lot of the problem, because at least you'll have the mitzvah of Shema. That's a big thing. But you will not have the advantage of having said the brachas at the time that you could be also the mitzvah. Okay, so that's something that a person has to keep in mind. That all things being equal, if you have a choice between two shuls, okay, now again, there could be other mitigating factors, but let's say, you know, this one's going to make it and this one's not. Okay, so just to say Shema, contrary to what people think, so I'll say Shema in advance, no big deal. It's not quite that simple. Now, what happens though if you're not sure if they're going to make it? Right, this happens a lot of times also. You come into shul, okay, the Sof Zman Kriya, you come to shul Shabbos morning. And the Sof Zman Kriya Shema is 9:23. Okay, 9:23, the shul, it's Shabbos, they daven, you know, there's a longer Pesukei Dezimra and so forth, but it could very well be they'll make it. But I'm not sure. So what are you going to do in a situation like that? So a person says, so just to play it safe, I'll say Shema in advance. But we just said that that's not such a great idea. Because, why? Because, let me clarify, because saying Shema in advance, if you know they're going to miss it, saying Shema in advance is not the greatest thing. It's better than nothing, but it's not the greatest thing because you're going to miss the brachas in time. Now, let's say you'll say, but they may make the brachas in time. Okay, but the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is fulfilled once you say Kriya Shema. It doesn't matter how many times you say it afterwards. If you say it five times, it only counts once. There's no point in saying it over and over again. Okay, so if I say Shema before the shul begins to daven, I have fulfilled the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Okay, now if I do it because I'm not sure whether the shul's going to make it, okay, so I'm just playing it safe. So I'm going to say Shema in advance. So, okay, I said Shema in advance. I was Yotze. However, I was Yotze without the brachas. So now, even let's say the shul makes it. Now they're going to make it. They got a fast guy up there for Pesukei Dezimra. He's going really quickly, and they're going to make it. Okay, but I ruined it for myself because I said Shema already in advance. So now, when it comes to say the brachas, even though the shul is saying the brachas and the Kriya Shema in time, but that doesn't help me because I already did the mitzvah. So once you did the mitzvah, it doesn't help to say it again, right? So you lost the brachas. You lost the brachas because you fulfilled the mitzvah already. So to simply say that, well, I'll say Shema in advance and play it safe, may not be the best solution. Because maybe you should gamble, and if they'll make it, you'll hit the jackpot. Because if they make it, so then you have the brachas and Kriya Shema. Right? Yeah, go ahead.
So why can't you just daven all the way up to that point and stop?
So to daven all the way up to that point and stop is what some people say to do, except the one problem with that is that the last bracha is also part of the deal. The part of the package is the bracha baruch at Hashem Gal Yisrael, which has to be samach gul tefillah, right? So you're gonna, in other words, you can't go all the way up there. You mean you'll go up to that point and then see what happens? Okay, you could do that. You could do that theoretically. You could do that. But Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, came up with a better solution to this, easy, more convenient solution. And he said that what a person can do in this case is to make a tanai, that a person could make it, I'm going to say Shema conditionally. Okay, you call your attorney, and you get a condition put into the Kriya Shema. How so? Right, because just like we know that when it comes to Sfira, right, when it comes to Sfira Sa'omer, so the question always comes up, you know, you're supposed to say Shema when it's, count the Sfira when it's night, when it's definitely night. Okay, so now what happens a lot of times in almost every shul, they don't wait till it's night, according to all the opinions, right? They can't. People come in the weekday for Mincha Ma'ariv, right? Nobody can sit around for an hour. So, you know, they daven Mincha, and the rabbi gives a class, and then they daven Ma'ariv. It's not yet to say Skachavim, according to all the opinions. Okay, and when it comes to Sfiras Omer, everyone's careful, you know, you try to do it the right way. Everyone likes doing that mitzvah the right way. So what do you do in a situation like that? So should you or should you not? Okay, so the rabbi says, okay, we're all going to count Sfira now. But you're thinking to yourself, oh, I'm not so comfortable with this because it's not night. You know, I hold Shabbos longer. It's not night yet. What should you do? So the poskim say that in that situation, the person should do the following. He should count the Sfira right now with the shul without saying a bracha. Without saying a bracha. And he should say to himself that he should have in mind the following. If I forget, if I forget to count the Sfira later, in other words, the dilemma the person has is the shul is counting Sfira, it's too early. So I'm not comfortable counting so early, but I'm concerned that if I don't count now and I go home, I'll get busy, I'll forget about it altogether. So the person should say to himself, look, I'm going to say it right now. If I forget later, this should be the Sfira. And even though I said it without a bracha, okay, but at least I said it. And if I remember later, so then what I said now should just be considered nothing. Should be worthless. Okay? That is the trick that is done. This is brought in the Shulchan Aruch, that a person should do this when it comes to Sfiras Omer. So too, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, when it comes to Kriya Shema, if you're not sure if the shul is going to make it. So this is the trick. A person should have in mind and say, listen, I'm going to say Shema right now before they start davening. Okay? If the shul does not make it, I want this to be my Kriya Shema. And then I fulfilled the mitzvah without the brachas, but definitely better than nothing. Much better than nothing. Right? On the other hand, if the shul does make it, so then I would like that what I'm saying now to retroactively be considered as if I'm just reading a section from the Torah, as if I'm studying the Torah. That's it. Okay? If a person does that, he has it made. Because that way he can say Shema in advance. He doesn't have to be nervous. He doesn't have to look at the clock. And if the shul makes it, great, then he got the brachas and the kriya shema. If the shul doesn't make it, at least he said the shema in advance. This is something that is a practical thing that a person could do. Okay, just to finish up, because it's late, I just wanted to mention two other points. Number one, women do not have an obligation to say kriya shema. The reason for this is because it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grom. It's a time, as we've been discussing, obviously time restricted mitzvah, right? So therefore, technically women are pater. However, the Shulchan Aruch says that it's a good idea for women to say it also because of the fact that it is a declaration of faith, right? So therefore, a person, even if you're not obligated to say it, it's a nice thing to say. So therefore, at the very least, the woman doesn't necessarily have to say the whole, what we consider all three sections, but at the very least, Shema V'Hayim Shema. That's one point. The other thing I wanted to mention was that as far as, you know, covering the eyes for Kriya Shema, so the Shulchan Aruch says that the reason why you're supposed to cover the eyes for Kriya Shema is because of the fact that it shouldn't be distracted, right? That, you know, so the person's supposed to concentrate because of the fact that Kriya Shema is declaration of faith. The person has to say it with feeling, and in order to avoid being distracted, a person should cover their eyes. That's with a widespread custom of saying it. Others say that it's to show that we believe, we have faith no matter what happens, like blind faith, so to speak. In other words, you close your eyes, whatever it may be. Okay, finally, the Baruch Shem Kvod Machusa Lolam Void is not part of Shema. It's not part of Shema. So how did that get into the picture? How did that get into the picture? So this is actually connected to this coming week's parsha, that it's brought that where the Chazal say, and it's brought in the Medrash, that we all know that Yaakov Avinu at the end of his life wanted to reveal when Mashiach was going to come to his children, and as he started to say it, the Ruach HaKodesh went away from him and he drew a blank. He wasn't able to say it. Couldn't get it out. So, and that was it, and to this day, right? We don't know. So it says that Yaakov was very concerned why this had happened, and he thought that perhaps this was due to the fact that one of his sons had strayed from the path and was not considered worthy, and therefore the Ruach HaKodesh was withheld from him. So the sons of Yaakov, who were all gathered around his deathbed, perceived that this is what he was concerned about, and therefore they all cried out in unison, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. In other words, they, even though this pasuk first was said later by Moshe Rabbeinu, but nevertheless, they were familiar with this, and they said it, Shema Yisrael, referring to their father, right? Yaakov here, that Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, we're all in it together. None of us have gone off the path. To which the Chazal tell us that when Yaakov heard that, so Yaakov was relieved, and he heard the praise of Hashem, so he responded with a line of his own, which was, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vod, right? That blessed is the name of Hashem, right? And his kingdom should go forever, which is roughly the same thing that we say in Kaddish, Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevorach. It's basically the same thing. Now, why is it said quietly? So the reason why it's said quietly is because the simple reason which is brought in the Mishnah Berurah is because this is not part of the Torah. It's not part of the Torah. In other words, Baruch Shem, it doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash this sentence, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vod. Right? So therefore, since the rest of it was said by Moshe Rabbeinu and not this part, so therefore the custom became to say it quietly, because it's a show that it's not part of the Kriya Shema itself. However, it is very important that it be said, and in fact, the Poskim say that the same way a person has to say Shema Yisrael with Kavana, a person also has to say this with Kavana, to the extent that if a person did not, he really should go back and say it again and pay attention to what he's saying. But there is another reason which is brought here, if you look at the sheet, and we'll end with this. If you turn over the page, I'll skip the top part from the Rambam, and just this is from the recently published Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, that he brings down that a second reason for why it's said quietly is because this praise of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso is said by the Malachim, right? That this is said by the angels when they praise God. And Moshe found out about it when Moshe went up to heaven to receive the Torah, so Moshe overheard this, right? The calling eavesdropping on people's conversation, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu heard the way the Malachim praise God, and he brought it back to the world and taught it to people. Okay, so he brings down that from the Sefer Od Yosef Chai, which was written by the Ben Ish Chai, he brings from the Medrash that in order that the Malachim should not be angry at people for stealing their lines, so therefore it said quietly, because apparently the angels cannot hear things that people whisper. Yeah. They can only hear things that are said out loud. They cannot hear things that the people say as a whisper. So therefore we whisper it for this reason. Now the difference between this reason and the first reason would be that this would explain why in Yom Kippur it's said out loud. The practice, which is today widespread, it was not always, but today widespread practice, that on Yom Kippur, when we say Shema, we say Baruch Shem Kol Mechuso out loud, is for this reason, because of the fact that on Yom Kippur, everyone's considered on the status of an angel, so therefore, a person can act like the angels fully and say it out loud, according to the reason that's brought in the Mishnah Berurah, which is that it was because it's not the Pasuk of Moshe, it's not part of the Torah, so to separate it, so then L'chari, you would ask, why should it be different on Yom Kippur any other day? But it could be that according to that reason, you wouldn't do it on Yom Kippur. Now, the fact that we all do it on Yom Kippur is a widespread custom, but that's a custom that developed over the years. It's not like that goes back to way, way, way back. Okay, but here you have the two reasons. In case the person wonders, why should it be the Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso is whispered? But just to conclude, it is still very important that that be said, and it's very important that that be said with intent. So therefore, even if a person has trouble concentrating and focusing, but at the very minimum, the first pasuk Shema and Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso, we should say with Kavanah.